Let's honor him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be thou glorified in the name of Jesus. And we have our being. Can we thank him for the first midweek service of the month of October? Let's lift our voice and appreciate him. The communion of escape and oil of preservation. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for open heavens. We thank you for causing us to see the months of January and of February. March, April, May, June, July, August, and September. And now you have brought us to the 10th month, the beginning of the last quarter of the month, of the year. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. Thank you for being so faithful and so merciful. Thank you for being so kind. Be glorified, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you because not one person will live here the same way they came tonight. We worship you. We honor you for your seal of preservation for the Ember months. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go on ahead and let's give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. I believe that if you made it to the 10th month, you will make it to the 11th month and to the 12th month. You'll see the very last day of the month and you will see the very last day of the year 2024 and the first day of the year 2025. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Shake hands and greet people around you. Welcome them to the presence of the Lord. And you might be seated in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome us to the month of above only through the power of godly character. Above only. The kind of godly character that set Joseph up, lifted him up, shifted Daniel up, Queen Esther, and these people in scripture. We'll be studying that through this month and see how to leverage on character and take our place in life. But tonight, we are looking at the preservation power of godly character. The preservation power of godly character. And our scripture is Psalm 25 verse 21. Psalm 25 verse 21. He said, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Our objective today is to see how integrity, understanding how integrity and uprightness are preservation weapons for the saint. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Integrity and uprightness carry preservation power. You go through the scriptures, you will see how uprightness and integrity preserved people. And that is what we call godly character. Our example number one will be the man called Job. In Job chapter 1, the Bible said that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was perfect. He was upright. He was one that feared God. He eschewed evil. He was a man of godly character. Now you jump to verse 10. You will see what that did for him. Satan was talking to God and he said concerning Job, hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. This was an upright man, feared God, eschewed evil, whose life was garrisoned by the defense of the blessing, who experienced explosive and exponential increase by the blessing of the Lord. That was Job. You go to the second example, the man called Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 1, we see the man, the Bible said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, he said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. There shall not be rain, there shall not be dew, but according to my word. Stand with God means a standing relationship with God. He had a standing relationship with God. He had a relationship with God where there was boldness to face God, where there was no guilt or anything covered. And because Elijah had a standing relationship with God, he was such a man that no force on earth in his days could dare. No devil could dare him. His stand with God made it impossible for any devil to stand against him. That is the preservation power, audacity power of godly living, godly character. Third example, our master Jesus. In John chapter 14 and in verse 30, you look at the life of the master. And here is what he said. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh. The force of hell, the power of darkness is approaching. But he has nothing in me, so he can have nothing against me. The preservation power of godly character. Question to ask is, what is in godly character that causes it to preserve people's lives? Number one, godly character establishes people in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life. Godly character establishes people in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life. Psalm 24, verse 3 to verse 5. It said, Lord, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, the man that has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So the man that has not lifted up his soul to vanity, clean hands, a pure heart, this man shall abide in the presence of the Lord. And what does that do to him? Psalm 91, verse 1 to verse 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Where the conscience is clear, his presence is there. And once you are there in his presence, you are not a wasteful material for any devil. So godly character establishes people in the presence of God. That is why we don't carry the presence of God to the same degree. Because our character, the level of our character is not at the same level. But godly character establishes people in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a preservative of life. Number two, godly character positions people in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. It positions people in that realm that is beyond the reach of harm. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 15 all the way to verse 16. He said, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding bribes, he stops his ears from hearing of blood, he shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He said that man shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Who is he that shall dwell on high? Whose place of defense is in the munition of the rocks? Look at verse 15 again. He is describing that person. The person that walketh up righteously, that speaketh uprightly, that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes. That person that stops his ears from hearing of blood and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. That is the man that shall dwell on high, whose place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Like I have always said, it is like the dog that is on the ground floor trying to bark on a man that is on the 60th story building, the 60th floor. It's far beyond the reach of harm. It's like a serpent on the ground level that is trying to attack somebody on the 120th floor of a building. When you fulfill the qualifications according to verse 15, of Isaiah 33, you dwell in a realm that is far beyond the reach of harm. You know, no matter how desperate the arm robber is, he cannot mount roadblock for an aircraft. That is not the realm of robbery. That is not the realm to go and block the road. That's not the realm. It is far beyond his realm of operation. That is what righteousness does, godly character. It's far beyond the realm of the operation of witches and wizards. Far beyond the realm of occultic power. Amoshato Kalagada. We heard the testimony yesterday at the Freedom Service, which is also the Healing and Deliverance Service. 6 hours that became 7 hours in his presence. The brother who was summoned by a native doctor to give him 7 kola nuts. Long story made short, 7 days later, the donor of the kola nut fulfilled the assignment of that kola nut by being laid to rest because he tempered with a man that was far beyond the reach of harm. When the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places far above principalities, above powers, above the rulers of the darkness of this world, above spiritual wickedness in high places, it's a far above realm. One of the things that will position you in that far above realm is the exercise of the conscience to be void of offense towards God and towards man. I prophesy, I declare today, every devil looking for your life, they shall take their own lives. In the name of Jesus, you shall fulfill your days. Godly character positions lives in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. Number 3, godly character averts the visitation of evil. It averts it. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, see what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. What's the fear of the Lord? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way. So you can read it like this. To hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth tended to life. He that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall be quiet. He shall not be visited with evil. Evil cannot be your visitor when you function in the realm of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, which is to hate evil, is a defense against evil. What you hate, you can't have. You can't have evil when you hate evil. What you don't like, you must lack. If you don't like evil, you must lack evil. Hallelujah. So godly character, it positions lives in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. Godly character averts the visitation of evil. Number four, godly character imparts the boldness of faith. It imparts the boldness of faith. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1, he said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And the lion is the strongest among the beasts. Proverbs 30:30, and he turneth not away for anything. Boldness of faith. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of boldness, of power, and of a sound mind. Boldness is the enemy of fear. Fear is an attractant of evil. While faith is a repellent of evil. That is why Job said, the things I feared came on me. Godly character positions you in a realm of fearless boldness, fearless courage against the agenda of evil and of hell. It imparts you the boldness of faith. What does faith do for you? Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 16. Say, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you are able to quench the fiery darts. Ephesians 6:16. Wherein you are able, taking the shield of faith, wherein you are able, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When you walk in godly character, there's an impartation of the boldness of faith. And that boldness of faith repels evil. It causes you to maintain the shield of faith, wherein you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. Today I prophesy, I declare, every flying arrow in the month of October shall backfire to sender in the name of Jesus. Every flying arrow. Arrow of disease, arrow of disaster, arrow of premature death. They shall come and return backfire to hell. In the name of Jesus. That is godly character. Please be seated. It imparts the boldness of faith. And finally, number five, godly character guides against following the path of destruction. It guides against following the path of destruction. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 3, the Bible said, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So there is one who is guided from destruction. There is another whose perversion leads him to destruction. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Do you remember the young man who told a lie that he was the one who killed Saul? And that lie he told killed him, led to his death. If he followed the path of integrity, he would have known that he shouldn't say he did what he didn't do. His integrity would have guided him against that death. There are people whose lack of integrity ushered them to pursue a money type that led to their premature death. I heard a story of a young man in the university days. Happening guy. Before he knew it, after he graduated, living very big. Cars shining everywhere. I heard that one day on the streets somewhere in Lagos or somewhere, some people accosted him and said, "Who did you deal with like that?" Bah, bah, bah. Shot him and left. Obviously, he had done business with some people and defrauded them massively. They didn't come for their money, they came for his life. The perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So integrity guides. You know that this is the kind of friend I cannot walk with. It preserves your life. This is the kind of business I cannot do. It preserves your life. This is the kind of story I must not tell. It preserves your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare that in this season, the Jehovah God, by the power of integrity, shall guide you away from destruction. Guide you away from disaster. Guide you away from premature death. Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. And so, what have we said? Number one, that godly character establishes people in the presence of God, and the presence of God is a preservative of life. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The presence of God is a preservative of life. Secondly, that godly character positions people in the realm that is far beyond the reach of harm, in the munition of the rocks, far above principalities and powers. Thirdly, godly character averts the visitation of evil. If evil is looking for somebody, it's not you they are looking for. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So not everybody is devourable. It is whom he may devour. Not whom he must devour. Whom he may. And if it's not you that devil is looking for, it averts the visitation of evil. Number four, godly character imparts the boldness of faith. Guilt is a killer of faith, but godly character imparts the boldness of faith. And finally, godly character guides against following the path of destruction. Integrity of the upright shall guide them. It shall direct them. The perverseness of the of transgressors shall destroy them. You shall not be destroyed. Can I hear a louder amen? You shall not be destroyed. Can I hear the loud most amen? You shall not be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Threefold counsel tonight before we proceed. Number one, purpose in your heart to live in uprightness of life. Living upright is not a gift, it is a choice. It's not necessarily a potential, it is a sense of purpose. Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Bible said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He purposed it. It was a determination. The purpose of life is the sense of purpose. I came across that word some time ago. The purpose of life. He purposed in his heart that he's not going to live and dwell carelessly like the Zidonians. He purposed in his heart. purpose determines pursuit. And pursuit determines possession. What you purpose determines what you will pursue. And what you pursue determines what you will possess. Purpose in your heart to live in uprightness of life. Number two, make demands on the grace to say no to wrong. Make demands on the grace to say no to wrong. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. It teaches us to say no. Grace is instructive. So in the face of battle with the wrong things, "Lord, I am asking for grace. I am asking for grace. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to be a prey in the hands of the enemy. I apply for grace." Grace to do the right thing. And finally, employ the cleansing power of the blood. In times of error, in times of transgression or error, employ the cleansing power of the blood. That is, you don't sleep over guilt. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." All the way to verse 8 now. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So there is the place for the confession of sins, not the place for the excusing of sin. Like I say to people, it's better to confess a sin than to excuse the sin. "Lord, I'm sorry I erred. I ask for your cleansing power. I ask for the tenderness of my conscience back." When that happens, we are positioned to live in the realm that is beyond the reach of harm. But you say that I'm doing all the best I can, but the witches are still attacking me. That devil is a bastard liar. It will never happen. Let God be true and let every devil be a liar. Tonight, we are going to apply the power of the blood through the communion. You say, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." We are going to apply the power of the anointing. "He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." We are going to employ the power of the prophetic decree. Three things: the blood of Jesus, the power of the anointing, and the prophetic decree and declaration. Because he said, "By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved." The dimension of the prophetic declaration that has been going on throughout the message. But I decree today, you will fulfill your days. You will live out your days. You won't be cut short before your time. Flying arrows in the month of October will never locate you. They will arrive and backfire to hell. In the name of Jesus, where blood is wasted, your blood shall never be wasted. You cannot die like chicken. There shall be no loss. Every negative cycle of death and destruction in your family, I declare the cycle is broken. In the name of Jesus, stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands and let's give the Lord the praise. Let's give the Lord the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. We magnify you. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. You are watching right online, anywhere you are around the world, and you are here in person. You heard the message, and you are saying to me, "Pastor, I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day in my life. I don't want to live a life that is vulnerable. I don't want the devil to take advantage of me. I don't want the hedge to be broken. I want forgiveness for my sins. Wherever you are, pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.